Welcome in to All Pro Lines, everybody. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you giving us a little time. You can check us out on Facebook Live. You can ask questions, you can make comments, you can write jokes, you can do whatever you want right there on Facebook Live. Ron Milford already in. What's up, Ron? Listen, this is not fun. You gotta ease in. Why would you be in a rush? I did that wrong. That's okay. We'll get back to that in a minute. You can see I'm still learning. I'm the producer and the host. I'm the only host and the only producer. Yeah, we miss you, Aaron Hodges. We miss you a lot. Welcome in. We got lots to talk about. What a great weekend in the NFL. It's some more crazy, upsetting, fantastical, fascinating, interesting things. Breece Hall's about to be the dynasty number one running back. The Packers, not good. We're going to talk about that with our guest today. Our guest is Tim Harbston, lifelong Packers fan, fantastic comedian out of the Minneapolis area. I'll give you some more details about him a little bit later on. But I thought it might be interesting to chat with him today after a tough trip to London for the Pack. Let me encourage you to enjoy a little monkey knife fight. Monkey knife fight is props. They don't even like the word bet. It's props. You bet. You take a pro. Okay, tell you what. I did three. I like the $5 bets. That's how I'm cheap. You can bet $2. You can bet $1,000. Whatever you want. I like to make three $5 bets on a game like Monday night. Monday night's perfect because it's an island game. There's nothing else going on. You get a couple props going. Makes them more interesting to watch, even if the game's a blowout or something weird happens and the game's otherwise not fantastic. You still got stuff going on. I like overs, right? I picked Mahomes, 285.5 passing yards. That's the over-under. Derek Carr, 275.5 passing yards. I took the over on both, hoping for a shootout. I think Mahomes is unstoppable, and I think, Derek's going to have to try to keep up. So let's see a bunch of passing yards. It's fun to root for. I took the unders on Hunter Renfro, 44.5 receiving yards, and Valdez-Scantling, 42.5 receiving yards, because I think those guys are a little overrated on their teams right now. And then I took you do a little thing where you draft three players and you root for three or four or five touchdowns for them collectively, and you get different payouts depending on what you pick. I picked Kelce, Edwards-Helaire, and Davante Adams for four touchdowns total. Kelce could get three, and then you get one thrown in there by one of the other dudes, and then you're boom, you win. That's a $5 buy-in, $20 payout, you see? And the other ones are 17.5 on $5 bet. I like the bets where it's like if it goes right, you know, if I get one of these right, I'm already getting a profit, and I could get two right. Last Monday, I picked all three right. You never know. It makes it fun. Anyway, monkey knife fight. And if you use the code ALLPROLINES, no spaces, ALLPROLINES, they give you an extra $100 for your first deposit. They match whatever you put in up to $100. Just for, as a secret, they do it pretty much all the time. But if you use my code, I get a couple of the bucks. It costs you nothing, and you're helping out the podcast that you know and love. You see, that's how affiliate programs work. All right. Gigs coming up. Atlanta, Sioux Falls, Farmington, Albuquerque. I'm excited about the stuff on the schedule. I'm doing Acme in Minneapolis, Tim Harmston's home club, New Year's week. So come see me there. Check out the socials. We are doing some fun stuff on social media at the All Pro Lines accounts. We're even on TikTok now, so you can pick any of the big five. It's mostly Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, but we're also doing TikTok, and we're also doing YouTube, and we're growing that part of it a little bit more. And also come find Kostaki Economopoulos on the socials, because I have finally gotten the message that I need to be posting more videos and clips of me doing stand-up and funny content out there all the time. So I'm getting a little better at it. I'm posting more and more stuff of sometimes crowd work from the road. I love the road, by the way. Oh my goodness. I just got back from Chico. Was a fantastic show in a little theater with kind of a cool theater vibe. Thank you to the folks of Chico. And I had a great time three nights around Southern Oregon, knocking around the Medford area, Ashland and Talent and Medford. Really fun, crunchy, fun Oregon folk. I was playing cards. I was drinking beer. It was great. It was like a little kid back in, you know, back in the playpen. So, all right, let's check in, see who's here with us on the Facebook Live. We got Ron. We got Jim Hall. What's up, Jim Hall? We have Barry and Andrew. Nice. Jim Hall, our buddy from who's going to bring up Taysom Hill. Yeah, that's right. We do need to talk about Taysom Hill. Oh, I have a great story. In my home league, in my old home league that I'm the commissioner of, it's called Georgia Roots Football, I just traded for Kyle Pitts. And it's a keeper league. So I'm my team's kind of toast. I lost my only good running back. And so I thought, let me build for next year. I traded for Kyle Pitts. Then Kyle Pitts was ruled inactive. So I just went to the waiver wire and I put in Taysom Hill. And I'm going to win this week against an arch rival I had no business beating because my team sucks. And Taysom Hill made it fun for me. I can't believe Andreas Economopoulos on the thing. Shout out to Andreas, who today won his Which Comes First. When he was a guest on the show not two or three weeks ago, we did a Which Comes First, firing which coach is going to get fired first, basically. And it was Matt Rhule versus the field. And Andreas picked Matt Rhule, and I picked the field. You win, bro. We've got Jerry Oliver. We got Kevin Wilson. This is nice. We appreciate you guys. Thomas giving me shit about the budget for my backdrop. Yeah, I believe this is a $6 plant. Yeah, that's right. We're keeping it simple around here. I've actually had a couple of backdrop ideas. You guys can maybe, you can chime in on this. I was actually thinking of doing a, what do you call that? It's like when you go to a bar and it's got the curly, swirly writing. Why am I blanking on this word? Anyway. You know, you can get like a thing. I could have a thing built that says all pro lines in cursive behind me that's lit up. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking of doing that. I don't know if that's too much, though. I could post it. I have a really cool framed picture of the 20th anniversary of from Acme. I could do that. Hey, Marge is in here. Marge Economopoulos. Irene and Pete say hello, too. Oh, cool. Greetings, everybody. Heather, I just... Heather says the plant might just be one huge leaf. No, I got... There's little leaf. There's a little one too. There's a little one coming, and then there's another big one on the other side. Heather, I just met in Oregon. See, I'm friendly, folks. I'll come drink beer with you. You come find me out there somewhere. I lost a light. What happened? Oh, goodness gracious. I can't be the producer and the host. It's too many things. Come back, Aaron. Neon. Thank you. Oh, Andrea, cool. Cowboy fan from Idaho. Congratulations, 4-1. You guys should have gotten rid of your star quarterback sooner. Then you'd be doing just fine by now. 4-1. It's crazy. Cowboys with their backup quarterback. 4-1. Makes no sense. A lot of things make no sense. And we're going to cover a lot of that stuff tonight. Tonight. Big game tonight, by the way. It's going to be fun. I have a lot riding on it. I'm alive in the pick'em pool as well. Could be good. All right. Let's see. What are we doing here? Let's dive in. We did some plugs. We did some talking to the folks. Let's do some jokes. Let's see if I can get this right. How hard is this? Barry is the answer. See? All right. Let's just let it play and see if it comes back to the beginning again. It's tricky, I tell you. Where's Glenn? We need Glenn. Where are you, Glenn? What if you...
The two-minute drill.
There's Glenn. All right, get the idea. Broncos country, let's hide. What is happening? Russell Wilson underwent a procedure on his throwing shoulder? Oh, goodness. Throwing shoulder. I hope it was performed by a wizard. He's beyond medical science at this point in thoughts and prayers. He needs a magician. He needs Dave and Blaine to put him in the end zone. That's his only hope. Somebody please make his personality disappear as well. Watching the Broncos feels a bit like undergoing a procedure. Goodness. I'll think of that game if I ever need to, you know, slow down at something. Let Russ cook, by which I mean, can he please stay home on Sundays and make soup or something? Somebody said Russell's in a good place. Is it CR's vagina? Because that's the only good place I can think of. He doesn't look good on the field at all. The Colts outlasted the Broncos. Funny, what I'm trying... That game was so boring, a soccer match broke out. It ended 4-3. The Jets say Tyreek Hill's comments rubbed him the wrong way. See also Deshaun Watson. It's a good thing you didn't say anything about Tom Brady. That would be 15 yards for roughing the goat. You knew we were going to have to talk about this subject. Goodness gracious. That's a terrible roughing the passer call for Tom Brady. Who's the ref? Brady's divorce lawyer? Nature's weird. I've never seen a zebra fuck a falcon before. You see, these are the jokes we can't do on the radio, everybody. That's why you come here to All Pro Lines, the podcast. I think the ref is divorced from reality. After the game, the ref said Grady Jarrett threw Brady to the ground unnecessarily. That is the way the defense ends the play. That is the structure of the game. It's literally necessary roughness. He grabbed Brady around the waist and gently swung him to the ground. That play was a pile of leaves away from being a romantic comedy. It should have been fluffing the passer. That should have been the... Now that I'm single, I'd like to get fucked by somebody other than the refs. Is that too much to ask for? All right. How are you supposed to tackle Tom Brady? Does it have to be on a pillow top mattress? You got to get that out there on the field and just the right with 800 thread count sheets and a layer of organic guacamole. What is the rule for tackling Tom Brady? When is this okay? That was the worst call since Alec Baldwin called his daughter. That was the worst call since Mel Gibson called his wife. That was the worst call since the Secret Service let JFK go with a convertible. See, that's a bad call. Since the Titanic went with fewer lifeboats than the people fit in. Since Hitler gave up on art. See, these are bad calls. Since Washington decided to go with the Commanders. Since having a drink with Bill Cosby. That's a bad... Since with the number 2 overall pick, the Chargers select Ryan Leaf. It's a very bad call. Tom Brady divorce. Oh, it's the first time I'm rooting for this guy. It's actually the only thing that's made him human. It's the only thing that he feels a little more like a real person to me now. He's not quite the cyborg that I imagine. He's going to be bummed out. He's going to mope around his house and eat one bite of ice cream. But I'm sure it'll be made out of avocados and honey or something. Now Tom Brady's going to retire and spend less time with his family. You see, let's do one more can't do on radio joke. I wonder if Giselle is leaving Brady because his diet doesn't include pussy. Sorry, honey, I can't. The trainer said no. All right. Let's do a few more jokes. Aaron Rodgers lost in London. So he's got more in common with the Germans than his weird haircut. They collapsed so badly the Ukraine is taking credit for it. Teddy Bridgewater knocked out of the game. Quarterbacking the Dolphins is riskier than being a Spinal Tap drummer. It's worse than going swimming with Antonio Brown. It's riskier than being a Kennedy's girlfriend. You see? Or a Kennedy. It's risky. See what I'm saying? The Dolphins go through quarterbacks like Tom Brady goes through iPads. The Eagles, the only undefeated team. The fans, are they happy? Do the fans in Philly get happy? How do they celebrate? Do they throw batteries into the air? I don't know. Let's just... All right. Where's Tim Harbison? He's not here yet. Screw it. I'm doing more jokes. Usually when the Lions get killed like this, it involves a dentist from Michigan on a safari. What happened? The Lions got shut out. Usually when Detroit gets a zero, it's in property value growth. Dan Campbell was so upset he bit his own kneecap. Yes, I'm fully aware of the weirdness of doing jokes to no one. Yes, I'm aware. I feel like I'm doing... I used to record bits for radio. Where I just did jokes into my phone and sent them in. The Lions were the number one scoring offense in the NFL. I don't understand what happened. We replaced the league's most potent offense with Folgers crystals. Let's see if anyone notices. All right. All right, that's enough jokes. Let's Let's check back in on the peanut gallery and see what you guys are saying in here. Buddha Nichols joins us. What's up, buddy? Go Ravens. Yeah, yeah, the Ravens are – I think the Ravens are all right. They're certainly fun to watch. Goodness. Beth says, I'm so funny. First heard you on the Bob and Tom Show. Huge Vikings fan from North Dakota. Well, you should come see me when I'm doing Sioux Falls. It's on a globe. It's close, Beth. Kevin says Skull. Yeah, we got some Vikings fans. You guys are happy about the Packers losing. Vikings win, Packers lose. It's like the best weekend of your lives. Buddha. Yeah, Buddha and I met on a cruise ship. He said, I get paid to sit on a bench and drink. He was the sound guy. That's minimizing what you do, Buddha. But, you know, you do all the things to prepare and get the show up and running. So that's where I found Buddha originally. I believe I had a fantasy football magazine with me on the cruise. I think I loaned it to Buddha. Irene's laughing. Oh, that's good. Cool. Yeah, we do jokes here. That's what we do. We're supposed to have Tim Harmston. I don't know what's happening. Maybe he's having a technical difficulty. We got plenty to talk about. We'll do some more stuff. Let's engage the fans. Let's do it that way. I have a quiz for you guys. I'll do a quiz with Tim later, football quiz, but I have one for you guys. What brewery is the oldest one in America? Actually, the original question I had is, what's the second oldest? Because of a shirt that I'm currently wearing. I don't know if you guys saw it, but that's the answer. Second oldest brewery in America is right here, and I will reveal in a sec. The first oldest, Jim Hall, is the first one to guess, and he is correct with Yingling is the oldest brewery in America. All right, second oldest, anyone want to play? Pennsylvania, that's right. We got a few other Yingling guesses now that I've said it. You're late, Anthony. Get it together. Maybe there's a delay on the thing. I'm just busting balls. I was surprised. This shirt is from a gig I did. Ron guesses Pabst. Kevin says Bush. Thomas says, I thought Yingling was a Chinese panda. All right. We've got some good guesses going on. Jerry says Steelhead. It's closer to home, Jerry. It's in Indiana. How's that for a hint? I worked at this brewery a few years right before the pandemic, and it was a great show. I loved that place, and the beer there was awesome, and the vibe was awesome. It's a bunch of like nice bearded white gentlemen making beer and hanging out. I like bearded white gentlemen. That's kind of my demo. Jim says, can't stand that beer. It tastes like they haven't cleaned the vat since 1780. Oh, Yingling? Yingling is a little like... When you're in Pennsylvania, you just say lager, and that's what they bring you. It's weird. They're obsessed with Yingling there. It's fine. I don't think doesn't crack my top 50 beers, but it's fine. Sun King. Well, that's Indiana. All right, I'll reveal the shirt for you guys, for those of you watching. I am wearing a shirt from the Terre Haute Brewing Company. How about that? Number two brewery in America. It's been around a long time. Let's see if they have the... Since 1837, says here on the shirt. Yeah. We still don't have Tim. Maybe we had a time zone thing. Let me text him and see what's up. I'll put you on speaker. Oh, let's see if we get him at all. That is a catchy song. No, getting nothing. I just confirmed with him like 2 minutes before the thing. There must be some technical thing. It's not like he flaked. He's a very responsible young man. Harmston! Hopefully I yelled enough over the number. He didn't hear. I'm leaving him a message. Harmston, we're on the air. Where are you? What are you doing? Is there a technical problem? Call me. Well, don't call me. Just jump on and join the thing. Okay, bye. All right. You know what we'll do? We'll go to another quiz with you guys. So we'll make it fun. Let's see. Let's go to... Hold on. I'm producing.
All right, kids, put your thinking caps on. It's quiz time.
All right, quiz. No looking it up. No cheating. Winner gets my undying respect for years. What quarterback has the most fumbles on the season? We just finished week 5, 2022 season. The most fumbles on the season. What do you got? Without cheating, without looking it up, throwing some answers here. Come on, Ron. I know you got a guess. Andreas, what do you think? Irene, ask Ann Irene to guess. Jerry Oliver says Ryan. Milford says Carolina. Can't even remember the guy's name. Dave Babinus says Wilson. Jim Hall says Joe Biden. That's a good joke. Anthony says Jalen Hurts. Mike Todd says Baker Mayfield. All right, these are some good guesses. These are all guesses I would have made. We got a couple guesses for Stafford in here as well. We got a Barry says Joe Burrow. Barry's a lifelong Bengals fan. It's been a little bumpy road this year for you, Barry. We thought this was going to be the year. We'll go back to the very first guess because it's by Andreas Economopoulos, who wrote Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan is the answer. And he's in his own category. Listen to this. Matt Ryan has 11 fumbles through 5 games, the most games in NFL history since the 1970 merger through 5 games. He's on pace for 37 fumbles, which would smash the current record of 23. Holy hell, Matt Ryan. Get it together. All right. All right, let's do this. We're gonna do the show with the audience instead of with Tim Harmston. Let's go do a which comes first. We'll get you guys to chime in on that as well.
But now it's time for which comes first. Oh, yes, it's time for which comes first. Now tell me, will this happen before that happens? It's time for which comes first.
All right, which comes first question. Which comes first, Giants playoff game or Tom Brady retirement? Chime in the comments. Barry wrote AB comes first. Oh, that joke's got layers, Barry. He certainly comes first in his own mind. First, second, third. There's not a second place. Giants playoff game or Tom Brady retirement? Which comes first? We're getting some answers in here. Let me remind you some of the facts. The Eagles are 5-0. The Cowboys are 4-1. The Giants are 4-1. That division is weirdly competitive, and we thought none of those teams are going to be good. So which comes first? Do the Giants make the playoffs this year? I guess that's basically what the question is. Let's see. Andreas says Brady. Milford says Giants. Andreas doesn't believe in the Giants keeping it together. They do seem like the worst 4-1 team in the history of football. But, you know, eventually if you keep winning, then that's, you don't even, you just prove it to be. Brent John says Brady. Kevin Wilson says Giants playoff game. We're splitting it right down the middle. Simultaneous from Jim Hall. He says Tom Brady misses and Giants make. Okay, all right. Heather says, please, Brady. Yep. Jerry Oliver, Dan McLennan says Giants. Once Brady and Giselle split, he'll play till he's 50. That's a good point. If he's free to do whatever he wants, he's got nothing to go home to, you know. But I think time's catching up with him. I think this year that team doesn't look good, and the team around him is pretty much exactly the same. So I think we're here. We've been predicting it for 7 years now, the Brady fall off year, and I think we're finally here. Thank goodness. They barely beat the Falcons. They needed a shitty call to seal the game against the Falcons, and they're not even trying to win this year. You guys are spending all the money to win this year. We're spending all the money we need to spend to get out of a hole, and we almost beat you. All right. So I think the answer is Here we go. Brent John says, Brady retires after week 18, which is the week before the Giants playoff game in the wild card. Look at Mr. Specific, Brent Johns, coming through with an interesting answer. All right. All right, let's do...
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
We're doing the whole show with you guys today. Let's do kudos. Taps on the back. Taps on the back. Taps on the back. Taps on the back. As is the tradition of the show, the host gives kudos and then the guest gives taps or Aaron or, you know, in this case, it's you guys. So get the taps ready. Go ahead, throw them in the comments there and I'll do my kudos. I'm going to say the New York teams. Everyone thought they were going to suck this year. The Giants are 4-1 and the Jets are 3-2. They've already smashed the over on the collective win total if you bet preseason. I believe it was 5.5 for both teams. Something like that. Six, something. Anyway, they've already done it, which is astounding. Five games in, you know, it's the teams are fun. The Giants, I think they've really found their coach is what it feels like to me as an outsider. And I haven't watched closely and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you guys can correct me, but it feels to me like the Giants got a spark from a good coach who showed up and was able to handle the situation. And he's got sort of a middle of the pack, lower end of the range starting quarterback. And they've had just a complete disaster at the wide receiver position. While these things are going on, they lost Shepard for the year with an ACL and Kadarius Toney's been gimpy and a pain in the ass. And I don't know what's happening with Galladay, if he just fell off a cliff and isn't good anymore or has some attitude problems in-house, but that team has been kind of a mess, and yet Barkley is back, and they seem to be walking with a spring in their step, and I feel like I can give the coach credit for all this stuff. And the Jets, you know, I like Saleh. I think Saleh's doing a good job with the Jets. I feel like Flacco played his guts out when he was there, and I think Zach Wilson might actually prove to be a real quarterback, a franchise quarterback this year. And they have monster stud rookies that are just performing great. Garrett Wilson's been great. Breece Hall. I think both those teams have turned it around in the same year. It's kind of amazing. They've both been terrible for a few years. All right, let's see what you guys say for taps. Ron says, kudos to Cousins for breaking the completion record. I don't even know. What was that record? Was that some kind of record in London? Did he break an NFL record? Fill me in, Ron. Dallas defense. Yeah, Barry. Good point. 4-1 with a backup quarterback. That's kind of amazing. Kevin Wilson says, true. Vikings are stumbling into wins they used to stumble into and lose. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I'm good with that. Taps to the G-men for winning. Dable. Yeah, he was juiced up yesterday, Andrea says. Justin Tucker. All right, Buddha had to reach down and find a raven to give taps to. Nice job. Yeah, Justin Tucker makes 58-yard bombs look like extra points. Kelsey had Kostaki beat. Yep, Kelsey's been great. That wasn't this week. He's playing tonight. Gino played great. Yeah, I was going to do Gino, but I already gave him taps. I already gave him kudos recently. I didn't want to double back, but yeah, man, he's good. I think we have Tim Harmston. Hold on. Let's see if we can get him in here.
Hey.
Hey, stranger.
How's it going?
I'm good.
Good.
Are you on a different clock than me? What happened?
Nah, I was sitting on a link that Aaron gave me, and I was just sitting there. But I guess it was a different
From last year?
Yeah, I've been here for a year. So I'm bad at this. So,
but let me give you a proper intro. All right, he doesn't know what time it is or how to get to see a thing, but he's a hell of a comic. He's from the Minneapolis area. He's done Letterman. He was named the funniest person in the Twin Cities, the Acme annual contest. Yeah. You're one of those comics. When I watch you, I'm like, I wish I wrote that joke. That's about as high a praise as you can give a comic. So welcome in, Tim. It's good to see you, buddy.
Thank you. You didn't mention I'm a big Packers fan, right? Did you? Or
I did. How you doing? You need a hug?
I'm not well. I'm not well. I'm not. I'm not happy. And we're not. You know, it's funny. I've been up here in the woods. My wife and I have a place in the woods, and I haven't really talked to anybody. So you're going to be the first person I talk to about this. So I've been holding in a lot of anger. No, it's just, it's the same old. Okay. A lot of people think that the Packers are somehow an elite team. And I saw so many headlines yesterday that the Giants stunned the Packers, and there was a shocking outcome in London. And if I could bet, if my state legislators allowed me to bet, I would have taken the 8 points that the Giants got and run to the bank, because I called this for so many people. This is not, the Packers are not going to win this game. They're not going to cover the spread. There's just something is off, and you see Aaron Rodgers' body language on the sideline. You see LaFleur. He looks disjointed. He doesn't look comfortable. Something is off. And obviously they look like they're pushing to figure out this Davante Adams absence on the fly. And you've got two rookies, and there aren't really a lot of playmakers on the offense aside from the running backs. And so they're trying to do what they can do. And it takes a while, you know, it takes live fire exercise to put, and God bless those two rookie Romeo Dobbs and Christian Watson. They've done everything that you want and more. Yes, they've had mental mistakes, but that's not the problem. The problem is that this defense that we have is supposed to be this elite unit, but you can't be elite and make that many mental mistakes and penalties, and they can't stop the run. They don't make adjustments at halftime. And everybody knew what the Giants were going to do. The Giants did it, and they won the game. And so I'm just kind of upset about it. So
I can hear it in your voice. I'm a lifelong Falcons fan, so when somebody comes on and is sad about their team, I find it to be adorable. It's cute. All right, I have several questions for you. So I feel like in the last year, we've gotten to know Aaron Rodgers a little more. I feel like Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson have become less likable in the last year, and Tom Brady has weirdly become more likable. He's like self-deprecating on social media, and he's got marital problems. He seems like a person. He's been a robot to me his whole life, and now he seems somewhat human. And I feel like Aaron and Russell are like, their images are coming apart at the seams. How do you feel about Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I feel a lot about, you know, I was talking to some friends this morning about Baker Mayfield. And the way I feel about Baker Mayfield is that he's always been a mediocre quarterback. He's not an elite player by any stretch of the imagination. But in the NFL, when you get a lot of commercials and branding opportunities like Baker Mayfield did, it just reinforces this notion in people's mind that, oh, Baker Mayfield must be really good. He's on all these progressive, you know, insurance ads. And I'm not making a case that Rodgers isn't good because he's on the commercials all the time. I'm making a case that it shapes the perception of not only the player, but the franchise. So everyone goes into a game like, in London on Sunday thinking the Packers are they're great, right? They've got Aaron Rodgers. They're great, but very few in the national media or, you know, the NFL casual fan doesn't peel back the layers and see the problem with these teams. And that is that, you know, there's just the Packers have always been kind of soft. And if you want to beat the Packers, you just run down their throats and then you win. And we've seen it in the playoffs so many times.
That's a hell of a slogan.
The Packers are soft. I mean, that could be on their jersey. 100% cotton. With Rodgers, it's like, you know, the public perception is always that you know, he's attached to an elite team. And you know, there's a lot that goes into making a football team. There's special teams.
Yeah, right.
The Packers are horrendous. There's defense, which we're not a good defensive football team. And there's – but people think, oh, it's Aaron Rodgers. It's a – you know, Aaron Rodgers must be better than Daniel Jones and the New York Giants. So, of course, they're going to get 8 points. But – you know, people don't peel back the layers. And you know, and this weekend we play the Jets at Lambeau Field and the line is 7.5. It's like, I would be tempted to take the Jets. There's no guarantee. Zach Wilson is playing quality football with a lot of weaponry.
Right. But we also know that Aaron he's got some ups and downs, but at any point he just turns it to 11 and he's just lights out amazing, right? That's going to happen at some point this season, right?
Yeah, I think so. Although he's built his legacy on having a security blanket receiver and it's been Jordy Nelson. It's been Greg Jennings. It's been James Jones. It's been Randall Cobb. It's been Devontae Adams, and he doesn't, for the first time in a long time, he doesn't have that binky, the blankie that
baby. Yeah, he doesn't have an elite receiver, right? That's right.
And so he's fine. Can you find that on the fly? Maybe Dobbs is a good, he looks great, but you know, I think there's
I was going to say, maybe this isn't your situation, but I was kind of thinking about this earlier because is it what happens when you end up not liking your quarterback that plays for a team that you like? You know, like I had to root for Michael Vick for a while. You know, like can you watch Woody Allen movies? You know what I mean? Like, can you listen to Michael Jackson songs? Can you listen to Noah from Bill Cosby and enjoy it anymore? Like,
right.
Can you separate out the man from the player and still, you know, Roethlisberger was like, but people are lifelong Steelers fans. What do you do with that situation where you don't like the person?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I've thought about it a lot, obviously.
I didn't mean to back you into this corner for your guy and your team.
I want to talk about this.
Okay.
I'm up in the woods by myself. I thought a lot about the pandemic, and Josh Allen was one of the first players to say, I need to do more research. You had Cole Beasley, who was, ardently anti-vax, and Aaron Rodgers said some dumb stuff and came off like a jerk. And a lot of the time, and not just athletes, but people outside of sports, I want to give everybody a pass. I mean, I know some people were more damaging and really hurt a lot of people, but I'm like, if I held on to the anger, you know, that I have towards everybody that said or did something stupid in the pandemic, I would be nothing but physical anger. 5'8", 232 pounds of physical anger. So I'm okay. I just block it out of my mind. I went back to, okay, it's just the Aaron Rodgers that I've known. I don't have any choice. And I feel horrible for the people of Cleveland. It's like, you know.
Yes, that's a perfect example. What do you do with that fan base?
I don't know. I mean, that's one where I'd be tempted to like pick up stakes and go to the Bengals or whatever. But
I think so too. They you know, the Falcons flirted with him, and actually in one of the pictures of the announcement, there's a Falcons jersey with his name on it in the background of the photo. Like, apparently it was close.
Yeah.
And I might have just walked away at that point. I really did not want to root for that guy.
Yeah. And Rodgers didn't say anything worse than our crazy uncle, you know?
That's right. Yeah, you're right. And I agree to give people a little bit of the benefit of the doubt in the name of, he appears to be earnestly trying to figure things out for himself, right? Like, he's not trying to make a mess of things, but even separate from that one issue, which I have strong feelings about, like, I find him to be unlikable, and I don't remember thinking that before. I remember liking him before.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, that's a great comment, because I always kind of liked Aaron Rodgers. And in fact, I've worked with him before comedy. I worked in the film industry quite a bit as a props person, and I got a chance to work with him on some of the early State Farm stuff.
Oh, okay.
Just a wonderful guy. I mean, he was nice to the crew and he was nice to me. And
that's cool to hear.
Yeah. And I always held him in high regard. And I always thought, well, he's a little quirky. Like, you know, like he might be like one of those deadhead kind of, conspiracy people. I don't know. But I'm like, how do we want our quarterbacks to be perfect people? And, you know, we want our.
Oh, that's a great point. Of course. Right. No, and, I agree with that.
I go through this with the golf thing right now. I'm a big golf fan. And so here we have, the golf world just divided in two with the Saudi Arabian thing. And I'm struggling with a lot of that. I'm like, well, do I really want to support those golfers that took all the money? And I'm like, but, you know, we want so much out of our athletes. And I think we're learning that that we can't hold athletes to a high regard anymore, especially when they're all armed with Twitter and, they're in the news cycle all the time. So
I feel like I've kind of gone a little bit the other way. I feel like I've gotten, I don't know if it's jaded or just more sort of practical minded, like even with something like fantasy, I used to not pick guys I didn't like. I don't want them on my team. And now I see them almost like you go to the dog track. Like I have them separated out for this purpose. Yeah. They're just pieces to the puzzle that I'm building. I don't care if they're, you know, if they're doing something untoward with their girlfriends later. I'm betting on a thing that's happening. I mean, I care as a human, but in terms of I'm able to separate it out is what I mean. And I don't know if that's even the right place to land, but that's currently where I am on this front.
Well, I mean, as comedians, you know, we're forced to, you know, look at things like Woody Allen or you know, Louis C.K. or whatever, the, you know, everybody, you have to confront things that, you know, can you separate the art? Michael Jackson, God, I
grew up exactly
a Jackson fan.
Yeah.
So I think everybody has their own comfort level. But back to Aaron Rodgers, like, I know for a fact, you know, because Green Bay is a small community and people see things and hear things. And I know that Aaron's done some really nice things for people.
He's a thoughtful guy. He's a smart, thoughtful person. Yeah. I may be overstating a little bit my own sort of disdain for him, but I was surprised that it's been a little, I'm surprised how much my perception of him has shifted in the last couple of years. And I feel the same way about Russell Wilson. He just feels so plasticky and fake to me. It seems like it's all just this like
illusion.
Yeah. It's like, this is who I want you to think I am. And we don't even know who that guy is. And maybe that's an overstatement too, but I've been surprised that I've gotten, and I've always disliked Tom Brady, mostly just, it wasn't even about him. It was just the idea of him. It's like that the guy who has all the advantages always wins. Like, I hate that guy. It's not even about him, but I feel like he's gotten more likable. I feel like he's sort of self-deprecating and he's playful and he said some things that feel, you know, again, thoughtful and sort of human that I wouldn't have heard from him earlier. Maybe I wasn't ready to hear. I don't know. I like him more than I used to anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's all really valid. I feel the same way about Tom Brady too. I think he was the villain for a long time because nobody could beat him. And right. Now that he's kind of at the tail end of his career, you really look back and you're like, wow, what a legacy. Like what a tremendous catalog of work. I feel the same about Belichick. I knew when Belichick came to Green Bay 2 weeks ago, I'm like, he's going to put together a game plan and they're going to bring it to us. You know, it's Bill Belichick. And they brought it to us to the very last second of the game. And with a
fourth round rookie who's never played in the NFL. It was amazing that game was close.
Yeah. And this is what I'm talking about with the Packers. It's like, we play down to opponents that we should always beat. We don't put our foot on the gas and never look back. We always let people hang around. We were up 17-3 in the mid second quarter against the Giants.
Right.
And we let them hang around. We let them get confidence. I'm super frustrated, and there's a lot of season left and it could turn around, but I'm not super hopeful.
All right, one last Packers question. Who wins the division? Is it Packers or is it Vikings?
Vikings. Yeah, I think the Vikings are going to do it. And I say that because they have that combo of Jefferson and Dalvin Cook and Adam Thielen. They have some weapons in Cousins. Yeah, Cousins makes some dumb mistakes, but Rodgers has made a lot of bad throws. Cousins is playing better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers. Their defense, maybe the Packers have a slight edge on defense, but I think the momentum is with the Vikings, and the schedule gets really difficult for the Packers. I mean, we're in the same division. We have a lot of the same schedule, but I think it's time. This new kid, and I call him kid. These coaches are kids, you know.
That's how old we are.
Kevin O'Connell, and seems to be inspiring confidence in that team. I mean, that team hated Mike Zimmer, and then they bring in somebody who they like, and now they're playing inspired football. So I like the Vikings to win the NFC North. I like the Eagles and Bills in the Super Bowl. I don't know. I jumped way ahead. But.
No, that's interesting. I mean, sitting here right now, that makes perfect sense. I can't believe the Eagles are that good. Seems weird, but maybe they are. Well, all right. I want to ask you a personal thing.
Yeah.
And if it's too personal, tell me to go fuck myself. It's okay. You and I share a very unusual thing. Comics who were in a relationship with a comic. That's such a specific, weird little niche in the world. There's only, I don't know how many people have ever done that. Maybe 10 couples I can think of in the history of my career that I've seen or known of. My situation was somewhat easy because she was so far ahead of me that we weren't ever competing for anything.
Right.
And she would just help me here and there with some stuff. And I would go to her big shot things. You know, I went to tapings at Conan and Letterman and whatever. How is it to be with someone who is in the same weird little craft?
You know what? I'm in a very similar situation. My wife is, you know, super successful. we've been doing, did you two ever go on stage together when?
Yeah, we did. I would travel with her and I would be the middle act. We did that a lot. And every once in a while, we'd be on the stage at the same time. But usually I just did my 25 and made fun of her. And then she did 55 and made fun of me, you know.
We
did that.
Well, we've been doing a thing where we go on stage together as a...
Oh, that's fascinating. Okay.
Like a Burns and Allen thing. And we don't ever want it to be, contrived or kitschy. Or there are things that we write that we were like, well, we should do this together. And so over the years, we've compiled about an hour's worth of together jokes. And so we do that mostly in theaters that will have us, not big theaters, but small theaters. And so it's been kind of cool in the sense that we have a good onstage rapport and people respond to it well. It is a very difficult ride home from a gig if it doesn't go well, you know, because it's just like you're trying to answer.
There's no third person to cheer you up. Yeah, right.
Yeah, but we've done quite a bit. We do corporates like that. We get requested. We're kind of, our agent sort of sells us as this thing. So that part is kind of fun. But yeah,
it's interesting.
She's got a lot of voiceover success. The cartoon that she does a voice on just got renewed for a fifth season. It's called Solar Opposites on Hulu, and it's a great show. It's a very popular show, and so it's fun to watch her have a success.
Oh, that's cool to hear. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she's
Mary Mack, by the way, for the listener who might not know. Mary Mack and Tim Harmston, both great comics and a couple and based out of Minneapolis, at least originally. Where are you now?
We're up in the woods.
You mentioned the woods. Is this where you live full time?
Yeah, up near Lake Superior in Bayfield County. We're way.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're way up there. Okay.
Way, way up there. If you were not far from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, like way, way up there. So
yeah,
that's
funny. My ex was great at voiceover stuff too. I would go in. I watched her do recordings for Phineas and Ferb, and I went in and watched it. That's a pretty sweet gig. I mean, it's not to take anything away from getting it because she earned it and she's great at it, but the work itself was easy for her to do. You know what I mean? They go, you know, the kids are in the yard and you're trying to get them to come in.
Yeah.
Phineas, Ferb. Okay. A little more like,
yeah,
try it. Like there's, you're in a hurry and, you know, she does it a couple different ways. Like, okay, we got that, you know, do the, you know, this one, yeah. This goes on for a couple of hours and then you walk out of there and checks come in the mail for years.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's been healthcare. And, that's how, yeah, it's, but she's, you know, Mary's really good at it. She's really works, you know, she really takes it seriously, takes the character, tries to, you know, get into the character and takes it seriously.
Oh yeah. I so don't mean to diminish the work and I'm sure she's good at it. Her voice is so distinctive and she's so smart and interesting. I'm sure she brings a lot to it. Just from a doing the work point of view, it is
remarkably like
it's sweet.
Yeah. And we can do during the pandemic, she's been able to do it remotely. So we don't have to live in Los Angeles. So she can go
better.
Yeah, roll out of bed, go to a studio 2 miles away, and then read lines. And yeah, it is a nice gig, and it is, you know, and it's it's great because when you do road comedy, you know, for a long, long time, if you can parlay it into a voiceover or a commercial audition, or you know, like I would love it when I see actor or you know comics that we know pop up on a Verizon commercial or whatever, you know, you're like, oh, thank God that, you know, that guy.
Yeah.
Gotta, because it's, you know, this living on the road and doing that
there's a feature level kind of like really good open mic. I don't want to diminish him, but he's kind of a newish comic that I saw when I was in Colorado Springs. He's got a mullet. He's got a really unusual look. And I was just flipping through Instagram and he's in an underwear ad. I'm like, oh, good for him. It's amazing.
Well, there will never be an underwear ad that I appear in. That's one thing we can be sure of.
Hey, he ain't in it because he's a you know supermodel. You got to go the funny angle sometimes, Tim.
Oh yeah, those funny underwear ads.
All right, I got a couple more questions, and then I'll let you get out of here. How was doing Letterman? Did it scramble your brain? Was it a crazy? Because I feel like on 12 different measures of what it is to be a comic, I'm in the somewhere between A and B range on all the things except for poise under pressure. I think I have a tendency to crack when it's most important. It's been a weakness of mine. How do you handle it when the chips are down and you know this is the big moment? How do you do it?
You know, well, first of all, I was a huge Letterman fan my whole life. I mean, as a child on NBC, staying up late. And, you know, so for me to do it was a remarkable, you know, honor. And it was, but I this is going to sound super selfish, but I almost feel like I did it too early. Like I wasn't a great comic.
I'm not. Oh, that's interesting.
Not that I'm a great comic now, but I had a good set. I mean, I think the writing was what was interesting about the set, but I wish I could do it now because I know I would bring so much more personality to it, you know, like right. Back then it was like just joke robot. Like, okay, you just do this set 1,000 times. You go around Minneapolis and you do the same 5 minutes for 4 weeks. And everyone's like, what's wrong? Is Tim have a head injury? Like,
he just, yeah, right. That's right.
So, but yeah, it was super fun and it was super, it was everything. Like when I look back on my life, I'm like, the fact that I got to do that will always be a real special moment for me. And,
love it.
Yeah. And it was just really cool. And I wish that I was trying to do another one and then he retired. Like I just started to start the process of trying to make another tape and then,
oh, right. But go back to my question. How do you, when you're standing behind the curtain,
yeah,
how do you not vomit and run out of there? Like, how do you keep your shit together?
It's so funny because you're the green room or your dressing room is upstairs and you're the last thing to do on the show. Like you're almost like this, the end of the show, you know, the last segment or whatever. And so you're kind of up there and you're listening for this elevator. Like, is someone going to come up and get me? Or
what? I've been there. I've been backstage. Yeah.
Right. And you're like, and I kind of like looking at my watch and I'm like, my buddies are with me and they're like, oh, should we get someone? Like, I don't know.
It's funny. I thought that when I was there too.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm not even mic'd up yet. Like I don't even have a microphone on and I'm supposed to be on stage. And like, you know, I wish they would have told you more about that part because I thought, oh, I got bumped. They obviously don't have time for me, you know, so
right.
Maybe that was a blessing because my brain was all, you know, worried about that instead of sweating the set. And then and then during the commercial, the elevator comes up, they put you on it, you go down. There's a guy at the bottom of the lapel, puts it on, and then he's like, I'm going to tap you on the back in about a minute and a half, and then just walk out to that star and do your thing. And you know, and so I really, it was a blur. It was an absolute right. blur. I walk out, and I had them play, I had the band, Paul Schaefer's band, I had them play Let's Go Crazy by Prince, because I was from Minneapolis.
Ah, that's great.
So and he's playing it and I stop and you know, and then the first joke that I did, Paul Schaefer just started laughing. He's right next to you. He started laughing. He really thought it was funny, and that just set up, that was like the green light for me to just, you know, that surge took away the nerves because I was like, well, if I got Paul, you know.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, what
a great story.
Yeah, it was really fun. So
that's cool, man.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to tell that. I don't think I've ever told this publicly, but I'll tell you about the time I was there. I was there. My girlfriend at the time was doing a set on Letterman. And the guest was Terrell Owens. He was the second guest. He's in the green room. I'm shaking hands. I'm a big football fan. First of all, his hand, like, you know, it's just like, it's like two hands. It just completely cut your hand disappears yeah. into his hand. And he is ridiculously handsome and engaging and yeah. likable in real life. And they were kidding around. She was like, I don't know what to say to a football player before I can't say break a leg. Right. So they were joking around about breaking a leg. He goes out, he does the segment. Dave loves him, keeps him on for another segment. She gets bumped because of Terrell Owens. The very next game, this is all true, Terrell Owens breaks his leg.
Yeah.
He was playing for the Eagles. It was the year that he came back and played in the Super Bowl after not playing for like 2 months.
Yeah.
He literally breaks his leg and he misses the whole season. And then the next year, I had told this story to a couple of my comedy buddies. And then the next year, he was traded to the Raiders. And yeah. Daryl Lennox, who's a big Raiders fan, yeah. he calls me, he goes, hey, keep your witchy girlfriend away from my new receiver.
He didn't last with the Raiders either, did he? Like, he didn't stick around?
No, it was all kind of downhill at that point. He bounced around, and he was a great Cowboy, and he was a great Eagle, and then it was sort of like,
It was a great Niner for...
Yes, of course, yes. He was great. I mean, he was a bit of a head case, but freaky good receiver. My goodness.
Yeah, really. Hall of Fame.
Anyway, it's great to have you, man. I'm glad we figured out how to get you in here.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. Anytime.
So Packers wild card, maybe?
I don't even think so.
That would be weird. They didn't make the playoffs at all.
It would be, but I think the Vikings are going to win the division. So, and then the NFC East is loaded. So,
all right. Can we plug anything for you? Can we tell people where you're going to be or where to find you?
Yeah, I have a dry bar that came out a couple weeks ago. So,
I didn't realize it was that new. That's great.
Yeah. So if you're into dry bar comedy, check it out. I think it's available for streaming now. So.
Yeah, the dry bar does. They do good work. You got to be clean. They don't want religion. They don't want politics. They don't want sex. But they're doing good stuff for their demo.
I did an entire half hour on how I hate Aaron Rodgers.
You just did that here.
And I didn't have to try. I had already done this set. So.
You could say fuck here. You can really get into it.
Yeah, I didn't know.
It's okay to be political. It's great to talk to you, buddy. Don't be a stranger. We'll talk to you again. Maybe when the Packers make the playoffs, we'll have you back on and get a different mood out of you.
Go Falcons.
Thanks, man. I'll see you next time. You bet. Thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate you. We did things a little out of order. We did all the questions and the kudos and the taps and the which comes first with you, the listeners, instead of with Tim Armstrong, but I think it worked out. We appreciate the listening. Do come join us on social media, Kostaki Economopoulos, everywhere you look and find stuff, and All Pro Lines, at All Pro Lines on all the big ones. Come join us, and we'll see you in a week. Go Chiefs. I hope you get what you want tonight, fantasy-wise and whatever else you want there. Do a little outro music. I like this song, too. Can we fade it down? What do we do? We fade it down. We call it a night. Love you guys. Appreciate the listen. Okay, see you. Bye.